coming up next. Minding Your Business, sponsored by Sandler Training, with marketing strategist and author Robin Block. This former New Yorker brings on the tough love to help you separate the gems from the junk and get the job done. Listen and learn. It's real business know-how for today's entrepreneurs. Now, here's Robin.
Now that we're into the second week of January, the credit card bills are starting to roll in from December's shopping and debauchery. For those of you who have been hard at work getting more work, you're probably ready to face the music. But some of you may be looking for a little extra pocket money. And if the hundreds of YouTube clips are any indication, this shouldn't be too difficult.
Well, my friends, here it is. It's time. I told you I'd find you a Craigslist powerhouse, Christy Lyman, the one person I know of who has generated tens of thousands of dollars a month just from a few postings on Craigslist. And now she's holding a record $80,000 from about 30 days of posting on Craigslist. How? Why? What? Well, we're going to find out. Christy, because we understand that you have a webinar coming up. What's it all about?
Well, Dwayne, as most people are aware, the economy is not doing very well right now. And since I work in real estate, I was directly affected by the downturn. And in doing so, I was able to generate a marketing system that generated more leads than I could even handle for my business. And what I'm going to do in the webinar is show everyone exactly what I did and how they can do it for their own business.
You just heard one of the many opportunities posted on the net. There are more scams than you can count. But according to our guest today, Bethany Muradian, there are over 300 legitimate online companies that will help you find work. We'll be speaking with her later in the show about her book, I Got Scammed, So You Don't Have To. She'll help us understand what's legit and what is just too good to be true. Now here's one more because, well, I just can't resist.
In just minutes, you could be completely set up with your very own vitamin website that's designed to do all of the work for you. Listen to this. You just send people to your website. The website will actually educate people on the incredible benefits of the greatest vitamin in the world. And then every single time, you get another 20 new people to go to your website and to just try the product. You just made yourself a check for $1,000.
The greatest vitamin in the world is also the greatest business in the world. Not only do you get to represent and take literally the greatest vitamin in the world, you get to make, well, in my case, more than $500 an hour sharing the great product with others.
And now it's your turn.
Operators are standing by live.
This one phone call could change your life forever.
So pick up the phone and make that call right now.
I can't believe how many times they said the greatest this and the greatest that. That many superlatives always makes me nervous. But I'm going to call right now. Before I do, reaction to President Obama's announcement about restructuring the SBA, a New England David meets a local Goliath in a courtroom battle, and the latest news about big investments in little companies. Stay with us for this and more here on Minding Your Business. Minding Your Business is about giving you the tools and information you need to start, run, and grow your small business. Are you starting one? Do you own a business? Tell us about it or ask questions. We'll answer on the air by calling 866-712-1300 or send us a tweet at MYB Media. In this down economy, nearly everyone is saying that small business will save it. But reactions have been mixed to President Obama's proposal yesterday that the Small Business Administration be temporarily elevated to a cabinet agency, but then folded into a super trade and commerce department. The new department would be comprised of four, what are being called pillars. The SBA, along with economic development programs from other agencies, would fall under the Small Business and Economic Development pillar. The other three would be trade, technology and innovation, and statistics. There are concerns that the new agency might dilute the SBA's authority to speak for small business inside the government. But Jeff Zients, Deputy Director for Management at the Office of Management and Budget, said, once we have consolidation authority, once this specific proposal passes, we will have one integrated department that is led by a secretary who will be on top of all the important assets and services that serve businesses. Senator Olympia Snow of Maine, the top Republican on the Senate Small Business Committee, said, quote, of particular concern will be ensuring that entrepreneurs do not face new hurdles in obtaining assistance in starting, operating, or expanding their small businesses, whether accessing capital, pursuing exporting opportunities, or contracting with the federal government. Unquote. Whether this move to streamline government will strengthen or weaken the SBA remains to be seen. In any case, the debate is sure to continue. Thanks to the New York Times for information on this story. In local investment news, Seattle-based WalkScore, with eight people on its team, has raised $2 million in a Series A round. The online service ranks rental properties, cities, and neighborhoods by how pedestrian-friendly they are. Public transit is also used in its searches. CEO Josh Hurst says more than 10,000 real estate sites, including Zillow and John L. Scott, use WalkScore's data. Seattle's Mad Fiber, which designs and makes carbon fiber bicycle wheels, has raised $2.7 million from 46 investors. The round could grow to about $4.8 million. Rover.com, which was conceived by former Microsoftie Aaron Easterly at a startup weekend event, has raised $1.8 million. The website connects dog owners with dog sitters. And finally, Larry Lesueur and Jose Lugo, also ex-Microsofties, have raised just over $1.5 million for their startup, WiseRG in Redmond. The company makes fertilizers and biogas from organic waste. Thanks to Xconomy for background on these stories. Mark one up for the underdogs. Black Bear, a micro coffee roaster in Tuftonboro, New Hampshire, a town with a population of about 2,500 people, has recently won its trademark infringement battle with Starbucks at the end of 2011. The company has been fighting Starbucks over the use of the name Charbucks to describe one of its roasts, and Starbucks has been on their case ever since. It's been a 14-year struggle. According to Jim Clark, who owns and operates the business with his wife and kids, Black Bear beans are distributed mostly at small coffee shops and food markets in the north and central part of New Hampshire. The roastery first began selling its Charbucks roast on a lark. Some customers wanted a darker roast than the business produced, and owner Clark indulged them. He wanted to warn customers. Clark said, "People in this part of the country don't like coffee roasted this darkly. We don't even recommend it." But it has a few loyal customers. Starbucks first took issue with use of the name in 1997. It renewed its legal battle in 2005 after Congress passed the Trademark Dilution Revision Act. Starbucks alleged dilution by blurring, meaning, quote, association arising from the similarity between a mark or trade name and a famous mark that impairs the distinctiveness of the famous mark. Starbucks tried to make its case by presenting results from a phone survey of 600 people. Among other findings, 30.5% of respondents said that they associated the term Charbucks with Starbucks. Clark said the only reason we're fighting this is I didn't like them telling us what to do. Not out of character for someone who reigns from the live free or die state. Clark said he continues to use the Charbucks name and will do so until ordered to stop. Although Black Bear admits to the play in words as a way to mock the coffee giant, the court found that while Starbucks was able to prove some association in the consumer's mind between the names Starbucks and Charbucks, it could not reasonably see how consumers would be confused into thinking they are from the same company. Black Bear's attorney, Christopher Cole of Sheehan Finney Bass & Green, who is representing the company pro bono, expects Starbucks to appeal the ruling to the U.S. Court of Appeals. So the battle continues. Thanks to Legal.com and the Union Leader for background on this story. You're listening to Minding Your Business on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'm Robin Block. If all the hype about social media is confusing you and it's just taking too much of your time, there's a solution. Social Persuasion is the book that will help you decide if social media is the right tool for promoting your business. From valuable tips about choosing the right social sites to getting the word out to time management techniques, Social Persuasion is the only book on social media created specifically for small business. Available in print and ebook from Amazon. You're listening to Minding Your Business on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'm Robin Block. If you have any questions for us, send us an email at info@mybmedia.com or send us a tweet at our new Twitter page at mybmedia.com. We look forward to hearing from you. And next up, Beth Maradian, Queen of the Random Job. In 2010, the Internet Crime Complaint Center, or the IC3, received the second highest number of complaints since its inception and reached a major milestone recently when it received its 2 millionth complaint. On average, IC3 receives and processes 25,000 complaints per month. With so many scams out there, it's hard to know which business opportunities are legit. That's why we've brought Bethany Maradian in to help us figure it all out. Holding a job for very long has never been Bethany Maradian's strong point. She calls herself Queen of the Random Job for good reason. She's been a puppeteer, virtual assistant, census taker, dog walker, housekeeper to Bill Gates and Paul Allen, and Ronald McDonald's bodyguard, among other things. Bethany has found unique ways to make ends meet. But maybe Frank Sinatra has said it best.
And then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That was Frank Sinatra singing That's Life. Now Bethany spends her time helping others find legitimate work at home and flexible jobs while avoiding scams through her books and seminars. Bethany has also been mystery shopping since 1999 and offers a unique overall view of the industry. Her book, The Mystery Shopper Training Program, helps people get hired and run their own businesses. We're happy to have the Queen of the Random Job here today. Welcome to Minding Your Business, Bethany.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about how that first scam, you know, we have the title of the book, yes. And, you know, tell us that story.
Well, I like to say I was young, I was naive. This was before the internet, before Craigslist, before any of all that. I was in college, and I thought that I could become a millionaire stuffing envelopes at home. It was crazy. It didn't really work out.
And it sounds good, though.
I know. It was great. It was a little ad in my college
Your tongue
newspaper.
Might get tired, you know, kind of licking all the envelopes.
Well, I think they recommended actually using a sponge and water.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that would have worked. But it was so ridiculous that there was an ad in the paper and said, yeah, you know, just get paid to stuff envelopes. So I sent away 1995. It was great. And I got back a one sheet of paper that had been Xeroxed 50,000 times saying, okay, all you have to do is place an ad in the paper telling, and it was like, oh, it's a pyramid scheme. That's great. So it didn't really work out. And I've always been very hypersensitive about these work at home things because that's always been in the back of my mind. So now anytime I see anything online, and this also comes from my father, he was a newspaper editor for 40 years, and he always said, you know, consider the source, do your homework. And so I research everything thoroughly before I say, okay, I'm going to try it out.
Did you pay any money in?
Oh, yeah, I paid the $19.95.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah. But that's not bad, you know, over the scheme of things. Like, I lost $20.
That was a cheap lesson.
It really, and I've, you know, made a really great career out of it now.
So how long was it between when you first were scammed like that and then you started this new business?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've always been an independent contractor. I've been an independent contractor since 1999. My degree is in puppetry. Of all things.
Where did you get that?
Evergreen, of course.
I didn't even know they had degrees in puppetry. I thought you just did it.
Evergreen has degrees in everything.
It's part of the theater department, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think technically it's a Bachelor of Arts.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I have a BA too, but mine's much drier.
Oh.
Mine's economics. You
could have puppets. It would be kind of hard to do on radio.
I could do economic puppets.
You could.
Yeah. That's a cool idea.
Write that. It's another $1 million idea for you.
I'm going to write that down right now.
I have a degree in puppetry, and I quickly found out that puppeteers don't make a lot of money. So
really?
It's shocking. Crazy. So I had to become queen of the random job. So I've just done everything since I was in college. And, you know, like you said, I've babysat, I've walked dogs, I've delivered phone books, I work for the census, I've been a mystery shopper, a virtual assistant, a census taker. I mean, I've done everything and anything I can just so I can play with my puppets but still eat.
I was really intrigued by the Ronald McDonald job.
Oh, yeah.
What was that again?
That was great.
You were a security?
I was Ronald McDonald's bodyguard. He needs one, believe it or not. 13-year-old boys are the worst. They're horrible because they want to go up. They want to pull off his wig and, you know, step on his toes. So I'd be there with my black glasses on and say, hey, step away from the clown. And that was my job. And I did that over a year. I don't think not quite 2 years. But, yeah, I'd go around. I'd walk with him in parades.
Do you have a uniform?
No, I wore, you know, a McDonald's T-shirt, and which was kind of funny, actually, because at one point I was a vegan, and that was kind of interesting. How do you become a vegan?
But you could eat their lettuce, I guess.
Yeah, I ate a lot of their salads.
Yeah.
I did. But they also did another great thing. They did school programs. So they would go into schools and they'd give free presentations on math and science and reading and all that stuff. So I'd go in there and I'd set up the shows. So I was kind of a McRoadie as well. It was kind of fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're listening to a program about home-based businesses with the queen of the random job, Bethany Maradian. I'm Robin Block and you're listening to Minding Your Business. Do you work at home? What's your experience? Tell us by calling 866-712-1300 or tweet us at MYB Media. Who are some of the worst scam offenders out there?
Oh, gosh. The biggest thing now that I see in terms of employment scams, there are people trying to get you to pay money for getting your credit check done, something like that. And what you don't realize, because a lot of companies now, because the economy is in the toilet, they want to have their employees go through a credit check and a background check and all of that. So what some of the scammers do is they require you to pay for that, which is a scam. And then they take that information and, of course, they just use it to steal your identity. So that's a big scam out there. If ever you're approached by an employer who wants that background information, make sure you research the employer thoroughly before giving that out, because that they could just be stealing your identity. There are other things out there that I don't really consider them scams. They're more business opportunities, but people aren't really aware of that. So they're required to pay money to buy into the business, and they think, oh, well, I've been scammed. And it's like, well, you haven't been scammed. You were just supposed to start a business. It's not a job. So that's one of the things that I try to do, is educate people the difference between a work-at-home job and a work-at-home opportunity, like Tupperware. If you were going to start a Tupperware business on your own, you're going to have to pay money into it, but Tupperware, it isn't a scam. So that's the difference.
It's multi-level marketing,
yes.
Essentially, MLM.
Yes.
So what actually differentiates, a lot of people want to know this, I mm-hmm. think, the difference between an MLM mm-hmm. and a pyramid scheme?
Ah, well, pyramid schemes, You don't really sell any products. You really are just, you're given more incentive to bring people in than you are to sell products. Okay, like people, they tend to give Amway a bad name, but Amway, they do sell products. They do have things that people can buy. Just generally, people don't do that. They focus more on bringing people into the business because that's where they get more money. So technically from the, I think it's the FTC, the government, they look at MLMs, if they're just recruiting people, sponsorships, memberships, you know, you pay $50, you get five people to pay $50, then you all make lots of money. That's not a business. It's not even remotely a business. That's a pyramid scheme. Mm-hmm. However, if you pay $50 to get into a business where you sell products and you sell those products and you make money off of those products, that's different. And then if you recruit, you know, other salespeople to come in and do the same and you get commission off of those sales, that's legitimate. It's where you're given incentive just to bring people in. That's where it gets kind of icky.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I mean, you could say that there are a lot of business models that are MLMs,
mm-hmm.
even insurance business.
Oh, yeah.
Because somebody at the top is getting a little piece of your action of selling the insurance, but you're still getting out there and selling policies and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
So whether it's Tupperware or Pampered Chef, I guess.
Oh, yeah,
or
Pampered Chef. They're a good one.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Pampered Chef?
Yeah, just for example, how that might work.
Well, with Pampered Chef, well, any direct sale company, I actually have listed over 100 in my book.
And I noticed you call it direct sale company. It
yes.
sounds like they're trying to get away from calling
it
an MLM.
Yeah, they're trying to get away. They're the terms are all fairly interchangeable. There's direct sales, network marketing, and multi-level marketing. It's all fairly interchangeable. I like to call them mini franchising because to me it's like McDonald's. You know, you're going to buy into a company. They have an established system. They have marketing rules that you have to follow. Some MLMs, network marketing companies, they won't let you advertise in malls, but Herbalife does. I mean, you go into the mall and you see an Herbalife kiosk. Some companies, they won't let you do trade shows. But it really just depends. So you have to go in and you have to research the business as if it's a business opportunity and look at it, look at your cost-benefit analysis, look at your marketing plan, look at the support that you get within the system to decide whether or not it's worth it to you.
So what can someone expect to make from one of these?
It depends.
I mean, there's different. Okay, yeah. So you have ones that are more like the stuffing envelope variety.
Yeah, which isn't, I mean, that's just a scam. That's pyramid.
They're not worth it at all.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't do anything
with that.
So
what's next to that where you only earn a little bit, but it's still possible to earn something? That's not something as sophisticated as, let's say, the Pampered Chef.
Ooh, let's see. Like in between, I'd have to say probably affiliate marketing. And that's where you have a website. And it's the same concept where you sell other people's products and you make commission off of it. So I'd say that's probably in between. But again, a lot of it, it's sales and marketing. If you find products and you sell other people's products and you make commission off of it.
Are there any that you could name that are particularly better ones than other ones?
Ooh, you know, it really depends on the individual and what they like. My whole thing, and I go into it in the book, like, you have to decide what you like to do. If you're not a chef, don't do Pampered Chef. Very simple. Don't do Tupperware.
Because you have to cook or...
Yeah,
or
well, you have to...
You have to entertain.
You have to like the product.
And you have to want people to come to your house, maybe?
Well, not necessarily, because especially with Pampered Chef, they let you do trade shows and other things. And you can also sell through your website.
What about something... Well, we'll come back and we'll talk about maybe Mary Kay and some other things. We're here
there
with Beth Maradian, queen of the random job. We'll be right back. We're here with Bethany Maradian, queen of the random job, talking about how you can make some extra money now that your credit bills are starting to roll in. We were talking about some of the businesses that are multi-level marketing or direct sales, kind of the same thing. I just wanted to talk about Mary Kay for a second. What do you think of that company?
Oh, Mary Kay is actually one of the oldest multi-level marketing direct sales companies, and I think it's one of the top grossing sales. Mary Kay, Avon, and Arbonne, I think those are the top three. But again, that's more in terms of businesses that you can start from home with very little capital to start up. If you want to look at jobs, there's a whole bunch of stuff that people can do from home or even just with flexible hours. For example, mystery shopping. I love mystery shopping. I've been doing it since 1999. And if you're not familiar with it, it's where regular people are hired to pretend like they're customers. And they go in and they evaluate customer service. And the great thing about mystery shopping is that every industry gets shopped. It's not just restaurants and retail stores, which is mostly what people think of. It's also self-storage facilities, cell phone providers, healthcare providers, apartments, banks, movie theaters, everybody gets shopped, which is kind of fun. So you can go out, you pick and choose your own assignments, and you make money just by giving your own honest feedback.
So you walk into where?
Well,
like a T-Mobile store or something.
Yeah, and you just pretend like you're looking for a plan, and you wait and see how long it takes for someone to approach you, and you evaluate the things that they tell you and whether or not they answer your questions and what they recommend, and you're in the store maybe 10, 15 minutes, and you go home and you write up the form. It's kind of nice.
And how much do you get paid for that?
Depends on the company, depends on the assignment, but a lot of retail stores, they go from $10 to $50 per shop. So per assignment, yeah, which isn't bad. For me personally, I like doing apartments and banks. Apartments pay generally between 20 and they go up to about 50 or so. And the nice thing about apartments and banks is that you don't have to put any money out. Unlike retail stores and obviously restaurants, you have to buy something. So then you get reimbursed for it as part of your shop. But with apartments and banks, you're not actually spending any money. So you get the full compensation for the shop.
So how long does one of these expeditions take?
Yes. I tell people it should take about an hour, hour and a half. That includes your drive time there, the time on the shop, coming home and writing up the form.
So you're making how much per hour?
About 10 to 25. depending on the assignment.
Minimum wage plus.
Yes.
So, but if you have nothing else to do,
it's great.
It's a nice little filler.
Right. And so, it's not a full-time job. It's, you can't mystery shop for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. You can't. It's just, it's not possible.
I know some people who love to shop that much, but I can imagine how that might be challenging.
Oh, it's exhausting.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, you get shopper burnout because you have to remember so much more. I mean, when you're just out grocery shopping, you don't think. You just, ooh, what do I want to eat? But with mystery shopping, you have to remember people's names, what they were wearing, what they look like. It's definitely more involved.
You have to be really on.
Yes.
You have to pay attention.
Yes.
So how do you hook up one of these jobs?
Well, there's a couple different ways of going about it. You can just Google mystery shopping. There are a lot of mystery shopping scams out there. So if anyone ever wants you to pay for just for the privilege of working for them, don't do it because it's probably a scam. Also, of course, I have my book, The Mystery Shopper Training Program, which is available on Amazon and in fine bookstores everywhere. So there's stuff there. And
very nice plug.
Thank you.
I like that.
Thank you very much. And also, there's a lot of free information on my website as well.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
We all know that social media is really hot.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, we've got something called reputation management.
Yes.
And basically what that is being able to check what your online presence is, how your reputation is reflected in other websites and so forth. But there are companies out there that will help you, or they suggest that they will help you, that they will manage your reputation for you. So what they do is, according to the Ripoff Report, they'll go out and find negative complaints about you, a company, whatever, and then they'll follow up immediately with an email or a call or a fax and make their sales pitch to people, often within minutes of the complaint being posted online. They're kind of predatory out there looking for this kind of stuff. So what they'll typically do is offer to hide or bury the online complaints. And Ripoff Report has been told that some reputation management companies have even threatened a business that they have to keep paying or they'll create even more complaints. So Bethany, have you heard of any of this kind of thing before?
I have, and it doesn't surprise me. With reputation management, it's really about kind of either pushing down the bad feedback that you find online, or pushing up
is
the
that
good
like on
feedback.
Yelp kind of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, on Yelp, on I think, no, it's not City Search. There's another one. Just escaped me. But other places where people go just to post reviews. And the thing about Ripoff Report, I love them. They have a lot of stuff on there just in regards to any kind of business. It's where people go to kvetch about companies.
Wait a minute. Wait. I'm from New York.
Yeah.
You can't. I'm not going to let you get away with kvetch.
With kvetch? I'm from Detroit.
Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's kvetch.
Kvetch.
Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Kvetch. Okay. So that's where people go to kvetch about companies that have done them wrong. So, you know, you have to take the feedback with a grain of salt. But also, it doesn't surprise me. I've worked with some clients who they're in the apartment industry, and they have programs out there where they can monitor the feedback from their apartments. And there are some companies who may post some very bad reviews just as the contract is up for renewal, you know, asking them, hey, do you want to renew? Look at all these new bad reviews. And it's like, you know, that's just not okay. So again, you have to take everything with a grain of salt.
I also think there are ways to mitigate with Yelp, for example, which I'll talk about in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
We're here with Bethany Maradian, Queen of the Random Job, and you're listening to Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'm Robin Block. If you have ideas or questions for Bethany, give us a call at 866-712-1300 or tweet us at MYB Media. What I often talk about, I have a book, Social Persuasion, and I have a section where I talk about how do you deal with negative response. And if you can do it yourself, that's probably a lot better than trying to work through one of these companies, and it might save you a buck or two. The first thing you want to do is acknowledge the complaint.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that through Yelp once you've claimed your page. And then you want to try to address it through their private messaging through Yelp and see what the complaint was, see if you can appease the person that made the complaint. You don't necessarily have to give them anything or give anything away. You could. But the idea is to really show them that you understand, that you're listening. Mm-hmm. And then if you can resolve the complaint, have them write a new review on Yelp. So that will be visible. And the more positive reviews you get, of course, the more the negative reviews get pushed down. So that's one way you can help solve some of that issue.
Nice.
Continuing. So what happens if you've been burned by a scam? What can you do?
Well, it's very important that you actually tell other people because we didn't know that stuffing envelopes was a scam until enough people stood up and said, hey, I got scammed. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple different things. Now, if you're scammed through your email, you know, let's say you get something from PayPal saying that you have to update your account. Most companies have places where you can go and just complain and say, hey, PayPal, I think I got this fake email. It's through a phishing scam. They're trying to get me to give out my user information. And they'll take care of it for you. So there's spoof@ebay.com if you get something in your email from eBay and it looks like a scam. There's fraud@amazon.com. PayPal, I think you can just go to PayPal and there's a place where you can go and complain. There's other places you can go. If you feel like you've been scammed through the post office, you want to go to postal.inspectors.usps.gov. Again, that's postal.inspectors.usps.gov. And that's if you do actually get, you know, the stuffing envelopes at home. Anything through the mail, that's where you want to go. Online, of course, you mentioned before, we have the ic3.gov. That's the Internet Crime Complaint Center.
And it's the number three.
The number three, correct. Yep. ic3.gov. And that's also just a really great resource because that has every scam known to man. Like, you can go on there and they'll just list everything that they've ever seen or heard of. And so you can kind of get an idea and see the patterns that are out there with scam artists. Also, you can file complaints through the FTC Complaint Center. That's the FTC Complaint Assistant.gov. Again, FTC Complaint Assistant.gov. So those are some places there you can go to, let people know. You may not get a response back because obviously they get thousands of complaints all the time. But at least you'll be doing something to help other people out.
What about the Attorney General's office? Is that a useful?
Yeah, you can go there too. And I do have a listing. Where do I have? Where you can find your Attorney General. It's the NAAG.org. And you can go there and find your attorney general. And again, it's the same type of thing. You go, you fill out forms, you file your complaints. You probably won't hear from them except for maybe a form letter saying thanks for filing your complaint, but at least you've done something.
So you can't really expect to get any money back.
If, you know, the best way I've found that you can actually get your money back is if you contact your local media and you get on like one of those problem solver shows through the news organizations, because they love these types of things, and a lot of times they can help you by featuring you. Now, I don't know if you actually want to go on your local TV station to say, yes, I've been scammed, but a lot of times they can help you out and right what has been wronged.
Probably depends how much money you've lost.
True.
So in your services, do you offer anything like that where you help people make complaints or help resolve?
No, my job is really to be an author and an educator. I teach people, you know, how you avoid the scams, where you go to file the complaints.
So you're prophylactic in nature.
I never thought of it that way, but yes, I guess I am. I'm the preventative measure. Afterwards, you know, I kind of point them in the right direction. But I am just one person, and unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to handle all of that.
What else can you tell us that we've kind of missed in your book? Tell us about some of the positive stories.
Ooh, the positive stories. Well, the great thing about doing what I do is I can help a lot of people just find random ways of making extra money. So in my book, I mean, it's called I Got Scammed So You Don't Have To, and it has four different parts. And the first part really is all about scams. So people learn how to trace emails and how to track IP addresses, like all the technical nitty-gritty stuff. So when they get those emails for job offers or if it's something from PayPal, they'll be able to track it, like professionals track it, and they can see where the email comes from. So I guide people step by step to kind of show everybody, okay, well, this is what happens and where you go.
Let's talk about that when we come back with sure. Bethany Mouradian, Queen of the Random Job.
And now, we return to Minding Your Business with Robin Block on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. Here's Robin.
Before the break, We were speaking with Bethany Maradian, Queen of the Random Job, about, well, we've been speaking about internet scams, but we were also talking about how you can kind of trace an email. Just tell me a little bit about that. It's a little hard without a computer in front of us, but right. Just give me the top line. What are you looking for to see what's legit or not?
Well, I have what I call my SCRAM formula, S-C-R-A-M.
Not scam.
Not scam.
SCRAM.
SCRAM, because you want to scram the scam. So when you're looking at anything online, first and foremost, S for SCRAM, scrutinize a source. Where did it come from? Did you hear about them or did they hear about you? Where did you find out about this ad? And what time of day was it posted? Because a lot of times scam artists are overseas. So if they're posting online at like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, chances are it's not legit. C in SCRAM, I can spell, stands for affiliate links. Check for affiliate links and fees.
Wait a minute, didn't you just say C?
C, yeah, check.
Stands for affiliate? Oh, no, check for. Okay.
Check. Check for affiliates and fees. My general rule of thumb is if you have to pay, stay away. Because most likely either they're trying to scam you or it's a business opportunity. It's not a job. And again, those aren't necessarily scams. But if you're looking for a job, you don't want to pay any money. They should be paying you. R stands for research the heck out of every single detail you can find. If someone has their name listed on the ad, look them up on LinkedIn, look them up on Facebook. A lot of times you can look up someone's email address in the Facebook search bar and their profile will come up. You go on Ripoff Report, talked about that earlier. Look up the company, see what other people have to say about it. Google the address, Google the phone number, Google everything that you can find just to, you know, feel like you know where this company is actually coming from. A stands for ask for more information. A lot of times I feel like legitimate companies are so overwhelmed with legitimate resumes that they don't have time to get back to you. So I kind of think that it's the scam artists who will get back to you. So if you have questions about a job ad, just say, hey, I want some more information. And if they get back to you, they may not be legit. They may be trying to keep you on the line.
So they're selling something rather than buying something.
Yeah,
you
it's a little bit counterintuitive, but that's kind of how I feel it works. And M stands for mouse over images and links in your email. A lot of times when you get the pretty email that has the colored fonts and the pictures and all of that stuff, that's HTML email. And as marketers, we know, we love that because we know the time of day that someone opens the email and if they click on any links.
It's trackable.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, as a consumer, it's kind of creepy because, you know, it's like,
it's trackable.
Yeah, it's trackable. But when you look at the emails and if it looks like it's coming from PayPal or eBay or something like that, all you have to do is take your mouse and hover over the image or hover over the link. And in the lower destination browser bar, it will tell you actually where that link is located. So if your mouse is over like PayPal.com and you see in the lower browser bar, oh, no, you're not going to PayPal.com. You're going somewhere else. It's like, oh, you kind of know that
it's a scam. And don't click on that.
Exactly. Do not click. And I know the marketers are going to hate me, but I do recommend that people disable images in their email just so it's not trackable from a consumer perspective. That's just how I feel. But I also feel that people should have more than one email account and that they should Google themselves often. And not just their names, Google their email address, Google their phone number, Google their physical address, just to see where it comes up. And that also ties back into the reputation management, mm-hmm. just seeing where you come up and just so you know.
What kind of people should be looking for these extra jobs? Like who is it really suited for?
Well, anyone who needs extra money. And a lot of my customers...
I mean, who do you think's better at it? I mean, you said that it takes a lot of sales and marketing skill.
It does. It does. But anyone who has that little entrepreneurial glow about them, I have a lot of
what
people...
What does that look like, exactly?
Well, you have it, Robin.
Oh, do I?
You do,
thank
indeed.
You. I think that's the sun finally coming through the window.
Just for until it snows.
Yeah, we have like 30 seconds left.
That's what they say. Even though today is great. Well, sort of. It's cloudy. I can see it coming. But a lot of my students, a lot of my customers, they're stay-at-home moms because they need something flexible that they can do. They're students. They're retirees, people who've been downsized or laid off, and they need something flexible. And also a lot of small business owners because their business may not be cash flowing enough, but they can't go out and get a job. You know, they have a business to run. So they need random ways just to make some extra money.
Mommypreneurs,
exactly.
For example.
Yeah, just that's where I come in.
Oh, we'll get back to that. Yes. We're here with Bethany Maradian, author of two books, one of which is called I Got Scammed, So You Don't Have To, and the other is called...
The Mystery Shopper Training Program.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
And you're listening to Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'm Robin Block. Have you ever been scammed? Do you have questions about businesses you've seen online? Tell us about it. Tweet MYB Media. Since we're getting to the top of the hour, yes. Are there any other tips that you would like to share with our listeners today?
Well, a lot of the stuff that I do with the work at home realm, it spans over several different industries. You know, people always ask me, well, what can you do from home? And it really depends on, you know, what you can do. I have...
Your skill set.
Exactly, your skill set. So I have things in my book. You know, if you have a background in teaching, there's things that you can do doing tutor.com, working from home, doing standardized test scoring. I've done that as well, where you go and you grade the tests. So it really depends on your own background to find what little things you can do. Working online through Arise.com or AlpineAccess.com, if you have general office skills, a lot of times they'll have you do word processing at home, or you could be taking orders for 1-800-Flowers from home. So there's a lot of things you can do just depending on your own special skill set.
And there's a lot more in your book,
yes.
I'm sure. And it looks like we're out of time.
Oh.
You've been listening to Minding Your Business on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'd like to thank my guest, Bethany Maradian, queen of the random job. To learn more about mystery shopping and how to avoid home-based business scams and so much more. Oh, and you have a lot of workshops coming up.
I do. I do. In the Seattle area through most of the Seattle community colleges. And you can find that through my website at queenoftherandomjob.com.
For an archive of today's program, links to our guest websites, or to sponsor this show, check out our website at mybmedia.com. Support for Minding Your Business is provided in part by Sandler Training. Learn more at toptiertraining.sandler.com. From Money Radio, KKOL 1300 in Seattle, this has been Minding Your Business, tools and information for the business of your life and the life of your business. I'm your host and producer, Robin Block.
You've been listening to Minding Your Business, sponsored by Sandler Training with Robin Block. Real business know-how for today's entrepreneurs. To contact Robin, you can email Robin with two B's at blockbeta.com. That's Robin at blockbeta.com. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 1 for more Minding Your Business with Robin Block here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL.